Hello, my name is Steve Wilbraham, and I'm the senior pastor of Congregational Presbyterian Church. We are glad to offer these audio sermons for our congregation and for those interested in learning more about our church and the Christian faith. We invite you to visit us, to meet our pastors and members, and to join us in the journey of faith. The mission of our church is to know Christ, to become like Christ, and to share Christ. Now, on to the sermon.
Summer sermon series is titled Walking with Abraham. And this morning we're going to be taking a closer look at Abraham's wife, Sarah. Like her husband Abraham, Scripture tells us that Sarah was a person of faith. She was a friend of God. We find ourselves, as we have been this summer, in the book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible. Today we're in chapter 18, and so let me tell you what's kind of going on in that chapter before we pick up our scripture passage in verse 9. Chapter 18 begins with three men who come to visit Abraham and Sarah, and we're told in scripture that one of those men is the Lord God himself. So they come to their tent, and Abraham welcomes them and offers them hospitality. He gives them water with which to wash their feet. He invites them to come and to sit in the shade while he and Sarah go and prepare a meal for their visitors. And it is at this point that we pick up the story again in Genesis chapter 18. I invite you to read along with me if you'd like to, using the Bible in your pew or your own Bible. We're beginning in verse 9 of chapter 18 on page 14. "Where is Sarah, your wife?" the visitors asked. "She's inside the tent," Abraham replied. Then one of them said, "I will return to you about this time next year, and your wife, Sarah, will have a son." Sarah was listening to this conversation from the tent. Abraham and Sarah were both very old by this time, and Sarah was long past the age of having children. So she laughed silently to herself and said, "How could a worn-out woman like me enjoy such pleasure, especially when my master, my husband, is also so old?" Then the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh? Why did she say, 'Can an old woman like me have a baby?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return about this time next year, and Sarah will have a son." Sarah was afraid, so she denied it, saying, "I didn't laugh." But the Lord said, "No, you did laugh." How do you and I deal with disappointment in our life? Sarah faced a lifelong major disappointment that brought deep emotional pain to her life. We were first introduced to Sarah back when she was still called Sarai, back in chapter 11 of Genesis, around chapter verse 30, towards the end of the chapter. And we were introduced to her this way. It says something like, "Abraham had a wife. Her name was Sarai, and she was barren." I mean, that's how she's introduced, and then the story kind of moves on. I mean, it's like her barrenness, her inability to have children, is almost like the defining characteristic of her life. She sees herself as a person who cannot have a child. And it's such an important issue for her, and indeed an important issue in the culture of that day, that it has become almost definitional for her. She is the woman who can't have a child. I can only imagine what it was like for her on her wedding day. The hopes that she had that day, and the joy and the excitement about the future that she thought was before her, that she was going to marry this man Abraham. And then very soon there would be little feet and little voices in the home, laughter and play and caring and enjoyment. She could visualize these little children running up to her and hugging her and giving her a kiss and calling her mommy. But none of that came to pass. Week after week, month after month, year after year, she is hoping and waiting and constantly being disappointed. And that sense of there is something that's not right in my life. This coming almost self-definition of I am a barren woman is growing and growing. The disappointment is getting worse and worse. How do we deal with disappointment in our lives? All of us face disappointments of different kinds. There are always things in our lives that we hope will happen that don't, and for many of them, they're fairly small. They're just kind of a part of life. We hope for something. It didn't work out the way I hoped, but we kind of move on. It's not that big a deal. But sometimes, and perhaps for you or for me today, we have a Sarah-sized disappointment in our life. We have something that we have been hoping for, something that is really important to us, something that's even part of, if you will, that somehow provides some kind of definition for who we are in a negative sense because we're unable to achieve it, unable to accomplish it, unable to see it happening. And we become more and more frustrated and more hopeless. And we have more and more of a sense of, is this ever going to happen? Is it ever going to be resolved? Is it ever going to be better? And we begin to doubt. And we begin to see ourselves in certain ways, and we, whether other people do or not, we certainly reflect our feelings upon them and start thinking that other people see us the same. Oh, that's the barren lady, you know, over there. And it hurts. And it's hard. And then someone comes along and says, hey, you need to have faith. You need to believe. You need to, you know, pick yourself up off the ground. Lift up your chin. Things will get better. The sun will come up tomorrow. And all of that good stuff. And in our hearts, we silently laugh. Not with joy, but with a sense of despair. You have no idea what it's like to be me. For weeks, for months, for years, to be hoping for something, and it's not happening. You have no idea of the pain that I hurt. How can you come and say, hey, it'll all be okay? It won't all be okay. There is something major in my life that is not okay, and I'm not just going to kind of let it go. I'm not just going to think that the sun will come up tomorrow and take care of it. I'm tired. I'm tired. And I don't need someone telling me that it's going to be okay. The Lord is having a conversation with Abraham, and we're told that Sarah is in the tent, so she's not right there, but she's obviously close enough that she can overhear the conversation. The Lord says to Abraham, where's Sarah? And he says, well, she's in the tent. And he says, Abraham, about a year from now, I will be back, and Sarah will have a son. Now, Sarah hears that. She hears what the Lord says, and she laughs. You got to be kidding me. How can you say that? I am a 90-year-old woman. She looks at the little bronze mirror hanging on the tent pole in her tent, and she sees her white hair and the wrinkles, and she sees that body, that barren body that's never been able to have a child, and certainly now is way too old. She looks at all the circumstances of her life. She looks at the circumstances of our heart, all which are contrary to what God says, and she laughs. Perhaps she even thinks, I've heard that before. Abraham told me that God said I would have a child, how long, 25 years ago? Maybe back then, now, no way. She laughs. What else can she do? It sounds almost cruel to have someone say, hey, it'll be okay. Hey, it's going to happen. Hey. I know you've been looking at this your whole life, but no, I just can't believe it. I'm just not going to put myself in the place that I put myself so often in the past of hoping that it'll finally happen and being disappointed. I just cannot take another disappointment. I am not going to pay attention. I'm just going to laugh it off. And so God says to Abraham, why does Sarah laugh? That's interesting. And Scripture is very clear. You can look at it again if you missed it. Sarah laughed silently to herself. This wasn't a big guffaw coming from the tent where God kind of went, what was that? Is that Sarah laughing over there in the tent? No, she laughed silently. But this is the Lord. And he says to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? And then he goes on to say, God, that is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? And he doesn't need to answer his own question. It's a very rhetorical question. Is anything too hard for the Lord? And then Sarah responds. There's obviously some other things that are going on between. It's not like watching a movie. We don't see every little event. Something must have happened, and there must have been some kind of conversation. And Sarah says to the Lord, I didn't laugh. I mean, she denies it. She lies about it. I didn't laugh. Now, why would she do that? Why would she deny the truth of what she had felt in her heart and what she had expressed silently to herself? Why would she deny that to God? Because she was afraid. Scripture says she was afraid, and so she said, I did not lie. What's she afraid of? What are you and I afraid of in our relationship with a God who makes promises to us, and we kind of go, I can't believe it. Are you really wanting to tell me that you're going to do this or promise this or that this is really the way things are? Because I look at all the contrary circumstances of my life. I look at all the contrary circumstances of what's going on in the world, and all that's very factual, Lord. It's right there in front of me. And I look at the contrary feelings of my heart, and I go, God, how can you even say that? How can you even write that in your word? How can you even promise that? Because I certainly haven't seen it. I haven't enjoyed it. I haven't had that experience. And we laugh. In one way or another. We argue with God. We ignore God. We try to kind of argue around what Scripture really says about who God is and the promises He makes. Whatever way we do it, we react in a Sarah kind of way. But see, the problem is, God knows our hearts. See, how did God know that Sarah laughed? Because God knew her heart. Because that's really where she was laughing. It wasn't with her voice, really, that she was laughing. It was with her heart. And God knew her heart. And that really scared Sarah. She didn't want God to see her disbelieving, disappointed heart. Sarah didn't want God to know that she had laughed when God had made a promise. And neither do you or I. See, we want to present ourselves to God. Oh, yes, God, you know, you make promises. I read scripture. The pastor says this or that. And yes, I believe it. Yes, that's how I'm going to live your life. And we want to project that image, but inwardly we laugh. The problem is God knows what's going on in there. He knows the disappointment we feel. He knows how often we have blamed him for something not going the way we wanted. Sarah knew how often God realized that she had said, God, why are you not letting me have kids? God, this is your fault. God, you're not allowing me this great pleasure that I have looked for to have as a woman, to be a mother my whole life. And now you come to me at age 90 and say, yeah, you'll be a mom. I've had it. I've had enough, God. That's it. I just can't keep going. But when God confronts her, she says, oh, no, I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm okay. I'm good. And don't you and I do the same thing with God? How hard is it for us to be honest with God about the pain and the disappointment we feel that the promises of God aren't coming about the way that we thought they were going to? That we're still waiting for something to happen that what we think should have happened by now. That God should have fixed something, that God should have healed something, that God should have taken care of something. And then the pastor reads a verse from the Bible. You see something during your devotional time and you laugh. And then the Holy Spirit kind of comes and says, Steve, why'd you laugh when you read that verse? Oh, no. It's just the Word of God. I'm there. I'm there. I'm okay. No, you're not, Steve. And that is what God does with Sarah. He says, Sarah, no, you did laugh. God does that because he loves her. God knows that if Sarah holds on to this lie that she didn't laugh, if she holds on to this kind of external image that she wants to portray, not just to God, but to other people of God, that she's okay, I'm fine with not being a mom. If God doesn't want to give me a child, I'm still the blessed woman. I am so satisfied with who... No. And God knows that if he's going to let her get away with that lie, it is going to continue to make her life miserable, unhappy, and disappointed. But God wants to bless her, not just literally with giving her a child, which he will do. Of course, we know the story. Even though Sarah doesn't know at this time, we know that she will have the child, that God will do what he has promised. But here in this moment, God says, Sarah, you need to be honest with me and you need to be honest with yourself, because if you're not, you cannot heal from this. The answer to Sarah's pain was ultimately not to have a son, although as wonderful, as beautiful as that would be, because about a year from then, she did have a son and named him Isaac. But what Sarah really needed and what God was doing in her life and what God seeks to do in your life and my life today, he's not going to come and heal our disappointment just by giving us what we want. That's not the theme of the story. If that were the theme of the story, then we can say, God, why did you wait till she was 90? Couldn't you have done it back when she was 30 or 40 or 50? Or when she was 16 or whatever age she was on her wedding day? I mean, it seems almost cruel. If you're going to give her a child, and if that's the answer, why did you wait so long? And God says, well, that's not ultimately the answer. I mean, ultimately, I will do what I have promised. But so much about my relationship with Sarah, who is my daughter, is our relationship. And she is learning, albeit the hard way, that she can trust me. She is learning, although in a painful way, that she needs to believe that my promises are real and that all the circumstances that are contrary in her life and all the feelings that she has in her heart that are contrary to what I have told her are not where she needs to focus her life. And it's certainly not where she needs to focus her faith, because faith goes beyond. See, faith goes beyond those contrary circumstances and those contrary feelings that have built up within us, sometimes over a period of months or years. Faith goes beyond and it looks to the one who promises. You know, it's really interesting, that at the end of verse 15, God says, no, Sarah, you did laugh. And you could, if you kind of wanted to stop and go, oh no, you know, God is really ticked at Sarah. I wonder what's going to happen next. You know, what's God going to do? And I'm going to look at verse 16 and probably hellfire, brimstone, lightning, you know, something, you know, God will throw a fit. Because not only did Sarah laugh at him, but then lied about laughing at him. You go on to verse 16 and what do you see? Nothing about Sarah. That's where the story ends in verse 15 at this point in Genesis. 16, we go on to talk about Sodom and Gomorrah. And if you read in the Bible reading plan, you read the rest of the chapter, you know this. So if that's the end of the story, and if that is all we had about Sarah and her relationship with God, we would stand here today and say, you know, Sarah is not a very good example for you and your faith. It's not good to laugh at God. You and I shouldn't be like Sarah. I mean, she was really lucky that God still gave her the kid, because look at what she did. Can you believe it? No. No, that's not the end of the story. It's the end in verse 15. It's not till chapter 21 that she has the child. Some other things are going on in there. But thankfully, God, who has given us his entire word, Old and New Testament, tells us in the New Testament, in the New Testament book of Hebrews, in the wonderful chapter 11 of Hebrews, you may be familiar with this chapter, Hebrews chapter 11, where we have this, if you will, this hall of fame of the heroes of the faith. Hebrews chapter 11 is a chapter of a whole bunch of different people who we have in our Old Testament, who believed God, who had faith in God, and guess who we find in the Hall of Fame of Hebrews chapter 11? It's actually in verse 11, so that's easy enough to remember. There is Sarah. And this is what we're told. It was by faith that even Sarah was able to have a child. The writer of Hebrews is going, even Sarah. And he knows the story. He read Genesis 15. He knows all about being 90 years old with white hair and wrinkles and a body that's never had a child, and now there's no way that she can have one. Even Sarah was able to have a child, though she was barren and was too old. All the contrary circumstances were there. And this is what it says. She believed that God would keep his promise. So it tells us what happened after verse 15, where God says there, no, you did laugh. We know that the men left. They went and had a conversation about Sodom and Gomorrah. Sarah was left in the tent, and in whatever period of time, we're not told, but something happened within her. After that conversation between her and the Lord, and after what she heard the Lord tell her husband Abraham, something happened within her. The words of God stayed with her. And she pondered them in her heart, like we're told Mary did in Luke chapter 2, as she ponders the events that surround the birth of Jesus and all she's told about the shepherds, and later when the wise men show up, that she pondered all these things in her heart. She treasured them. Sarah did that very same thing, and she thought about who is God and what did God say, not just about me having a child, but what did he say? He said to my husband Abraham, that I'm sure now I understand that I was meant to overhear, is anything too hard for the Lord? And she thought about her life, and she thought about her journey with Abraham, these many, many years all the way from the land of Ur, and all the things that had happened, and how God had blessed them, and how God had kept every promise to this point. Is anything too hard for the Lord? And eventually Sarah comes to the place as she meditates upon this word of God and ponders it over against all the reality of her life. All of those circumstances and feelings that seem to speak against what God has said. Is anything too hard for the Lord? She says, that is the word that will trump everything else. That is the word that I will now look to. My faith will not look to my circumstances. My faith will not look to my feelings. My faith will not settle upon my years and years and years of disappointment and anger and frustration and pain. I will focus on the word of the Lord. Is anything too hard for the Lord? If He has said that by this time next year I will have a child, I will believe it. She, Hebrews 11:11, she believed what the Lord had told her. She believed. And so it is for you and me today. The question is, where is our faith focused? Where is our relationship with God lodged? Are we taking up our daily complaints with God about the things in our life that we feel should be different and that we believe that He should make different for us? Or are we holding on to the things that He has promised us? That He is a good God and a loving God and a caring God. The story is told of a master pianist who is doing a concert in a great concert hall. And in the audience is a mother who brought her 9-year-old with her because she was hoping that by hearing this great pianist that her son would be willing to practice his piano lessons, which he just loathed. So she has this very reluctant and uninterested son with her. Well, the concert hasn't begun yet, and the audience is out there, and people are chatting to each other, and she turns to chat to someone sitting next to her, and her son slips away. And somehow he makes his way up to the platform because he's really intrigued by that Steinway, grand piano that is up there. And he gets up on the stage, and he sits down in the stool, the piano stool, and he begins with his fingers to play chopsticks. Well, the murmur settles, and people look, they turn their faces, and they just can't believe that this kid is sitting there playing chopsticks on the piano before the great pianist comes out, and there's this hush falls over the hall, and then someone yells, "Get that kid out of there! Where's his mom? What's going on?" I mean, and the pianist backstage, getting ready to come on, hears the yelling and the commotion, and he comes on stage and he realizes immediately what has happened, and without saying anything, he walks up behind the little boy and he reaches both arms around him and he starts playing a counter melody, harmonizing with the boy playing chopsticks. And as he does so, he's leaning over and he's whispering in the boy's ears, "Don't stop. Don't quit. Keep going." You and I have disappointments. You and I have things in our life that are hard, and perhaps we have struggled with them for a long, long time. And like Sarah, whenever anyone comes along and says, "Hey, you need to have faith," we just want to laugh. And God says, "Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't stop having faith. Because I'm right here. I'm right here. And together, we're going to make beautiful music." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for this wonderful story of Sarah. It's such a beautiful story. Of course, it's a beautiful story that she had Isaac, kind of in that, and they lived happily ever after, kind of feeling. But it's not a fairy tale. This is a real story about real human beings and real emotions and real disappointment, and a real relationship between a God and a woman, who for her whole life has been trying so hard to hold on to her faith in this issue of not having a child, and yet time and time again being disappointed. Having her husband say, "Guess what? I just talked to God and He said we're going to have a son." And then it doesn't happen, and years go by. How hard it was for her, and how hard it is sometimes for us, Lord. And therefore, we're given the story of Sarah Not so we, this many years later, can say, oh, wasn't Sarah just whatever, but we can say, isn't this true of me? And isn't this true of you? And don't we together experience these things as real in our lives? And yet you're not leaving us alone, even though sometimes we feel alone. You have not forgotten us, although sometimes we wonder where you are. You have not stopped being good, even though the circumstances certainly are not good in our lives. And you call us, as you called to Sarah by faith, to look beyond all the contrary circumstances and feelings and all the contrary things that people around us say and that the world says about God and the Bible and God's promises, to look beyond all that and to hear a God who says, is anything too hard for the Lord? Our answer, not just verbally, not just outwardly, not just being good Christians and wanting other people to see that we're good Christians, wanting you to see that we're a good Christian, we say, oh, no, of course not. But in our hearts, we ponder that. We're honest with ourselves and recognize that sometimes it does feel like something may be too hard for the Lord because he doesn't seem to be doing anything about it. But may we, like Sarah, as is witnessed in the book of Hebrews, may we, by faith, believe that you are a God who always keeps your promises. May we never quit. May we never stop believing. Amen. Let us stand and sing our closing.